All right, we're going to read from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what is the gospel? Gospel is a declaration of God to people, and those people are his. And what it is, it's an accomplished work of salvation. If you go back into the first book, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after the fall in the garden, Adam and Eve, God came to them and told them what was going to happen as a result. But he also gave them a promise, and that promise was in Genesis 3, verse 15, when he told Eve, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So what that's talking about is that, in a nutshell, basically God's going to save his people. And as far as men that are born of women, There's two different lines of people that come from Adam and Eve. There are the children of God, which are the children of promise, and that they're the natural children that are born in sin. And we're all born in sin, but the difference is that some are chosen in Christ. So that's the gospel is, it's the power of God unto salvation, because it says in Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed by faith." So that's the first promise that we have. And if you read the scriptures, it's written all throughout. You know, all of God's promises are yes and amen. So my next point is going to be, I just said it actually. It's the power of God and salvation. Now we know also that in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says that salvation is of the Lord. You know, we hear nowadays that there's a bunch of different ways that people can be saved, but there's only one way that a man can be born again, and that's if the Spirit of God moves upon him and draws him to himself. So the title of this message, actually, I should have said in the beginning, is called The Gospel of Grace. So we know that if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, we'll go there right now. It says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So that's telling us it's a gift. A gift is something to be received. We cannot, of our own free will, take a gift. A gift has to be given. If we take something that's not ours, it's stealing. And the scripture tells us that no flesh is going to glory in God's presence. So if it's not a gift received, it's not a gift. You know what I mean? It's not yours to give. It's not yours to take. So if you go all the way back to Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, Moses was asking God some questions as he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt after they already left, you know, the Passover. And he told them, he said, "Lord, show me your grace. You know, I want to see your glory," actually, he said in verse 18. And then the Lord said to him, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." So this is God's choice. It's up to him. I mean, if you think about it, if you read that narrative in Exodus where the children of Israel were in Egypt and they came out of Egypt, why wasn't it that God saved Pharaoh or he saved all the people of Egypt? Scriptures tell us that he made a difference between them. For example, when the plagues came, the 10 different plagues, they didn't affect any of the people of Israel, yet they affected the Egyptians. Okay? So now we'll go to my next point. My next point is, what is grace? Gosh, I'm messing up. That's part of what grace is. God says, I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So who's the one showing mercy? Is it us that are saying, hey, I know God's going to be merciful to me because I'm a good person, or I honor my mother and my father. You know, I help people around the town. Is that the reason why God shows mercy to us? Is it something we do, or is it his choice? Right here, it tells us that it's God's choice. We call that the sovereignty of God. And sovereignty means that he's in control of everything. Like the little song we heard when we were kids, he's got the whole world in his hands. And that's the truth. He does have it all. So going on to my next point is, what is faith? And once again, we'll always go to the scriptures. If you go to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1, it gives us a pretty good definition of it. Let's go there. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now, how is it that the elders obtained a good report? It was because of the faith that they had. And we know that from Ephesians, faith is a gift and it's not a work. And a lot of people will tell you that you have to do these things in order to be saved, whether it's bearing fruit or assurance or evidence. But the Bible tells us that salvation is of the Lord. Paul goes on to say in Hebrews that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if he begins a work in you, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish it. That's why Paul said in his epistles, and Jude said as well, "Now unto him who is able to keep you and present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy, the only wise God, our Savior, be power and dominion and glory both now and forever." So God is the one who is the author. He creates faith in a person. He preserves that person in faith that he gives them, and he brings them home to him eventually in the end, whether he takes them home in death or that's it. Yeah, or he comes back when they're still alive. You know, he returns after the last child of God is saved. So we know that faith is given by God. God has to give someone faith. If you go to Psalms 1, chapter 110, verse 3, he tells us that my people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. He says, thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. And David goes on to say also in the Psalms, that blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach you. I want to say, I think that's Psalm 46. But the thing about the gospel is it's a declaration. It's not an offer. It's not something you can sell people on, because people don't always believe. You know, going on to after defining faith and how faith is given, it's a gift that comes from God. And that not all men have faith. You know, people will tell you, oh yeah, you just got to believe, you got to believe, you got to have faith. And yeah, it might seem encouraging to people, but in the end, we know that there's a true faith and there's a false faith. And if you're in a false faith, then the assurance that you have is false as well. And I don't want people to find out the truth the hard way in the end, because either you're going to, if it's true, because God is a spirit and they that worship him in spirit and in truth, and he's looking for true worshipers. And when it says, the scripture says he's looking, we know that he sees all. Scripture says all of creation is naked in his sight. So God knows, because you go to 2 Timothy also, I believe it's 2 Timothy 1:19, where it says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So God knows who his people are. Well, we don't know who God's people are. You know, we look at things from the outside, really, because that's just how we see. When we see something, we see it as it is, you know. What's that? There is no 2 Timothy 1:19. There is no, so then let me see. Is it 1 Timothy 2:19? Let's see. No, 2 Timothy. It is 2 Timothy. Let's go there. 2 Timothy 2:19. There is no 2 Timothy 2:19?
There's no 2 Timothy 1:19.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez. I stand corrected. 2 Timothy 2:19, which says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we know that not all men have faith. And we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And that tells us that Paul was telling the Thessalonians to pray for them, and that the word of the Lord may have free course. I'll just read through to verse 3, or verse 2. It says, and finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. I mean, that's telling you right there, not everybody has faith. And the faith that the scripture speaks of is faith in God, which is a gift from God. And everything always goes back to God. Salvation doesn't lie within us. It's a work that is done outside of us. So either the work is done by you, that's why it's called a work. We're not saved by works, like the old hymn says, not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Because God gave us the law. He gave actually the children of Israel the law, the Ten Commandments. It's also called the Decalogue. But that law could not be fulfilled, because if you broke one of the commandments, you've broken them all. So if you stole, you've broken all Ten Commandments. If you coveted your neighbor's house, you broke a commandment. If you blasphemed the name of God, or you had another god, you've broken a commandment. So we know that the law was meant to cause us to look for grace. I mean, you think about it. If say you have to drive every day, and everywhere you went, there's a police officer following you. And if you didn't obey the law, the speed limits, you got busted. But we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. So to tie it all in, the gospel is a declared message. It's a finished work. When Christ died on the cross, I believe it's John chapter 20. We can go there real quick. It's actually chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus said, it is finished. No, John. John chapter 19, verse 30. This is when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. Are you there? All right. So he said that it's finished. So as I said earlier in the beginning, the gospel is good news. You know, it's because all men are sinners. We're all born in sin. So if I'm a sinner, and someone tells me some good news about Christ, and God causes me, because you tell a lot of people these things and they don't believe it. Oh man, there's no such thing as God. You know, the atheist will tell you, you know, there's no such thing as God. That's a liar. That's all old ancient book. They say all kinds of things. How do you know it's true? It was written by men. But that's not the case, because God has God is eternal, and he's given us his word. It doesn't change. It'll never return void unto him. And the scripture says that the flower fades away, you know, and the earth is going to dissolve, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. So we have his word, which is a sure thing, and we believe it. So when we tell people the gospel, how it's a declaration of an accomplished work, it's the power of God and salvation, it's good news. You know, it's telling all men who are perishing that, hey, you know, God died. God died for people. He died for his people, right? Matthew 1:21 said, he shall save his people from their sins. The angel had told that to Mary, that he'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we know that he's going to do that. But it's not all men. Scripture tells us it's his people. Just like Israel is a type of God's people in the Old Testament scriptures, the Israel of God are his people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And that's in Revelation 7:9. Go there real quick. And this is when people are in heaven worshiping the Lord. And it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in your hand. We'll go to verse 10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. So we know that God saves people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Not the whole world, but from all over the face of the earth. Wherever they are, if they're his, he's going to save them. So like I said earlier, we don't know who they are, but he does. That's 2 Timothy 2:19. Is that what it was? Scripture? So that's awesome. That's grace. That's the gospel. That's good news. You know, but the only way that a person is going to believe it is by faith. You know, scripture says the just shall live by faith. That's in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. So if God has given you faith to believe in his word and in the promises of the gospel, that's good news. And that's the gospel of grace. We'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would help us to believe it and to stand on it. And by your grace, through faith, and we give you praise. Go with us now, Lord, throughout the day. Be with us as we do the things that we normally do these days. And keep us and protect us. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.